This is Y Nada Más. A Real Madrid Podcast.
What is going on, everybody? It's been a long time since I've chatted with all of you, but I decided it was time to come back. It's been a little, I would say, over. It's been like something like 9 months, something like 10 months, almost a year since the last time that I did a podcast. And you know what? I'm pretty sure I've lost many of you. Some of you might just start coming back now. But, you know, I've decided I want to come back. I want to do this. I want to start, you know, getting back into the swing of things. So that's me. My name is Eric Rivera. I am the host of the Nada Más podcast. So welcome back to the show. You know, like I said, it's been a long time. I actually kind of just checked out during last season, even though we had a phenomenal season last season, you know, and everything was great. But this is not my day job, and my day job got really hectic, and you know, I have a lot of things to do at work, and you know, thankfully I've been blessed with, you know, getting a higher position with my job, which comes with a lot of responsibilities. My kids are getting older. You know, I have a 9-year-old son, a 6-year-old son, both of them playing football or soccer, as we call it here in the United States, football abroad. So, you know, like it's been very important to me, focus on family and focus on them and whatnot. But, Real Madrid is my passion, and seeing how obviously things have been moving at such a fast pace with Real Madrid, of course, with doing so well last season, winning La Liga, winning the Champions League, obviously the acquisition of Mbappe, a lot of things, you know, sad happening with Toni Kroos leaving, you know, I couldn't keep up with a lot of things, and really, at this point, it's really a one-man show, guys. I mean, at this point, it's really just me doing the show. It's really just me producing the show. I have sometimes that I have a friend that helps out with graphic work. If not, that's also me. So really, it's kind of like a one-man thing. The only thing is I have two, you know, great guys that have helped me in the past, which are Hilal, who's in the UK, and then our good friend Trombach, who is in India. And, you know, they help me occasionally with articles. They've also jumped on the podcast at different times. So really, I just, you know, want to say thanks to them for sticking with me for so long. You know, actually, Trombach was one of the first guys that jumped on board. Hilal came second. And, you know, I've had him on the podcast a couple times. And I really want to feature them more often, especially from now going forward. They're probably hearing it right now for the first time anyway, that I want to feature them more. But, you know, I kind of got out of it for a bit. But I think all of us, you know, Trombach with his own... He's got his own work in university. You know, Hilal's got his own job in the UK. I mean, everything. All of us, you know, are doing our own thing. But what unites us, no matter how far we are, and for all of you guys that are listening, no matter where you are, you know, what unites us is the passion that we have for Real Madrid. You know, and Real Madrid, of course, you know, is just the greatest football team in the world. I mean, what can you say? I mean, we were hated on. We suffer. Because of the fact that, you know, we've gotten to this style of football that we concede and then we score and then, you know, we concede and then we score and then we always come back in the last final minutes and, you know, always do la épica, as they say in Spanish. But it's been an incredible time, and I think I'm going on almost 3 seasons now or 4 seasons now that I've done this podcast. But, you know, really my goal is to just continue rolling and try to be as consistent as possible with the show. With that said, guys, I mean, I really don't want to move more than that. I really want to elaborate more on that and, you know, make a big deal about me coming back or whatnot, since, you know, just podcasting is podcasting. So many people have podcasts and so many people want to do shows and so many people want to do these things. And, And it's not an easy thing to do. Trust me, it becomes a day job just like anything else. You know, my son talks to me all the time about wanting to do Twitch and wanting to do, you know, YouTuber and all this kind of stuff. And people don't realize, I mean, I had a podcast for the longest time doing MMA and Muay Thai and martial arts, which is, you know, my sport background came from there. I did play football and soccer when I was a young kid. And then, you know, in high school and right before and in college a little bit. But besides that, everything was besides, you know, the occasional pickup game and those kind of things. And my passion with football from there, really where I dedicated my life was the martial arts. And I fought Muay Thai for many years and fought in the ring and I fought and coached people. And that's something that I did for a long time. And then I did a podcast where I was really trying to push, you know, the beauty of Muay Thai to the world, you know. And then I just decided, you know, one of my biggest passions was of course, football. And I decided, you know, to use my skills in marketing and use my skills in graphic design, which is, you know, what I do in my regular day job, to, you know, really just continue to, you know, put my love out there for Real Madrid. And the thing is, aside from the great guys at Managing Madrid, who I've had the, you know, pleasure of hearing speak when they've come here to Miami, Kian Sobhani and some of the other guys for Managing Madrid, there really is very few podcasts. And right now, let's be Real or Let's Be Real, that podcast as well. They have a really good website and really good Instagram. And I follow those guys and they've been really awesome. I think a lot of them individually have been really awesome in following my podcast and trying to push me to do things. So I really want to, you know, continue that. But it's really like only like three podcasts that have done Real Madrid from, I don't want to say just the, I would say English language perspective, because it's not just the American perspective, even though I'm based here in the United States. But the football in the United States is growing at an incredible pace. Now, obviously, you know, with, I'm here in Miami, so, you know, you have Messi that's here. You have a lot of football coming to Miami now, a lot of people with their eyes on Miami because of Messi and the MLS, and obviously with Luis Suarez and these other guys from Barcelona that came here. So I stopped following Inter Miami in a lot of ways because I felt like it was Barcelona light, and I can't stand Barcelona. You know, obviously they're my most hated team in the world. Aside, so I think from Atletico and to a degree Mallorca, who we just played today for the opening game of the season. But there's other teams that I dislike in La Liga, but you know, that's really, they're really up there, especially I would say in the last few years, Atletico more than Barcelona, as much as Barcelona is always going to be, you know, our most hated rival, you know? So that's really the story of everything. And football is growing here in the United States. And I think people are really starting to, especially with ESPN Plus, grabbing La Liga and having the rights to La Liga, then the Bundesliga, then ESPN FC, of course, you know, with the guys, you know, all these, you know, those pundits that talk on there with like Craig Burley and all these Steve Nichols and all these guys that are on there. And then in addition, you have, you know, Paramount Plus that shows the Champions League games. And of course, you guys have Micah Richards and Thierry Henry and Jamie Callagher and all these guys that are doing such a good job there of really bringing, I think, football obviously more into the conversation here in the United States. You also have Men in Blazers. You have all these different podcasts and all these things that are about football, or these shows that are about football, and they're really doing a good job of making the sport grow in the United States, but of course of putting eyes on some of these other teams aside just from the Premier League, of course. That I think the big reason that we have a lot of, you know, we have a lot of stuff in the United States with the Premier League, a lot of eyes on the Premier League, is of course because, well, there's obviously American owners that own a lot of these teams or are part owners of a lot of these teams in the Premier League. We share a common language, of course, with the Premier League. But with so many Hispanics, especially here in Miami and especially here in South Florida, with so many Hispanics, the conversation really is, I mean, really a lot of times the focus is a lot, of course, on La Liga, of course, on teams from South America. Of course, like Copa America was huge here. They, you know, they played a couple games here in Miami as well. So football has really grown here. And I really just, you know, aside from football growing itself, I think, you know, Real Madrid, I don't know if they, I don't want to say they don't do a good job, because the Real Madrid, of course, does a great job with their marketing and their plan. Their players alone take football to the next level. But what I think is important for us is essentially that is really to have a voice for Real Madrid outside of just, you know, some of these people that are going to talk about Real Madrid when we do well, and if we're in Champions League, and if we're on ESPN Plus when the games are on. Coming from a Real Madrid fan base and discussing Real Madrid, and I'm pretty sure, hopefully, getting other American viewers that don't speak Spanish or maybe are trying to learn Spanish or they have an affinity for Spanish football to have an English language podcast that shares their same love for Real Madrid. Now, obviously, there's other, like I said, other podcasts like Let's Be Real or Managing Madrid that also have that, but I wanted to continue doing that with my podcast as well. And I was gone for a while, but like I said, it doesn't make me money. You know, it doesn't make you money. This becomes like another job, and it's a job that doesn't pay. So at the end of the day, it's a labor of love, and that's what you end up falling into. So anyway, so let's get into the podcast. I'm not going to go into anything, you know, else, of course, just that, you know, we are here. And of course, we are in the new season, the 24-25 season. Mbappe is finally here. It is not a dream. And then today we had, obviously, over the last week, we had the first, Mbappe scored his first goal with Real Madrid. And we won the UEFA Super Cup with, of course, against Atalanta. We got the UEFA Super Cup, our first win of the season. Our first cup of the season. And then everybody's eyes were on this game against Mallorca because, of course, it was going to be the debut. It is the debut of Kylian Mbappe. So I'm speaking to you literally maybe about 2 or 3 hours after the game has ended. I wouldn't say it was a dud. I mean, it was a dud in that, yes, we were expecting a lot more. Obviously, it's Real Madrid. Everyone's expecting a lot more. Obviously, Mbappe is there. You have the names like Vinicius. You have Rodrigo. You have all these big names on the team. So everyone's expecting them. You know, you're starting off with a mid-table team like Mallorca, who, you know, they have been a sort of a thorn in our side in the last few seasons. So they are not too shabby. But at the end of the day, Mallorca is a team that, you know, you would think we could beat them. And especially with the firepower we have now up front, you were going to think that we were going to be able to beat them and come away with like a lopsided win. But Mallorca, of course, did a really good job defensively. And here's where I want to get into the nitty gritty of the podcast. So, and just talk to you a little bit about my feelings. You know, obviously with Real Madrid, there's no feeling out period. For fans don't tolerate a feeling out period, especially whether, you know, you're in Spain, the Spanish fans, the Spanish press, for those of you that don't follow it, the Spanish press, they're cutthroat and they are going to nitpick every single little thing. And of course, with Mbappe now on the team and it being Real Madrid, and there's this being this animosity against Real Madrid for many other clubs in La Liga, obviously, Barcelona being our biggest rival, Atletico Madrid being our crosstown rivals, Mallorca having their issues, obviously, with Vinicius and just being sometimes the racist pieces of shit that exist, unfortunately, in Spain and Spanish fan base, you know, obviously having issues with Vinicius. So there's a lot of bad blood that sometimes, and there's a lot of people that just want to see Real Madrid fail because simply put, as it is in many other sports, when you have a team that's great or is consistently great, everybody wants to see them fail. And obviously, Real Madrid is coming off a La Liga win last season. They won the Champions League last season. So everybody really, that's the team everybody wants to see fail. Everybody wants to see go down. And that is something as a Real Madrid fan that you have to consistently contend with because everybody wants to see you lose and everybody wants to label you as a glory hunter. Maybe you are a glory hunter, and I don't see what's wrong sometimes with wanting to be a fan of the best. You know, I have other teams that I follow. I mean, I don't follow Inter Miami right now because I just see them as Barcelona light at the moment, but they're a grassroots team. They're local, so I do follow them. But they're, aside from having Messi, they're a pitiful team. You know, they're a pitiful team aside from having Messi. And if he's not playing, you know, the team doesn't do as well, although we've had some pretty good games in the past, in the last few since having all these players. But there's been some good wins and some good run to form. But then obviously we fall and we just fall back into other issues. So at the grassroots, you can have your local team and you're like an Inter Miami. I'm also a big fan, huge fan of Serie A. And I'm a big fan of Napoli. And Napoli lost 3-0 today against Hellas Verona. And that was a huge pain in my ass because I'm a Napoli fan. And, you know, being a Napoli fan comes with issues as well. You know, so aside from that, I'm a huge Real Madrid fan. That is my number one team, no matter who they play. Even if they play Napoli, who I love, I would probably always go for Real Madrid. And it's been something that I've had since I was a kid, you know, since I was young, since then into my college days. I've always been a Real Madrid fan. I've been a fan, you know, Cristiano Ronaldo is one of my favorite players. Luka Modric is, you know, I named my son Lucas after Luka Modric. I was going to name my other son Mateo because of Mateo Kovacic. But my wife wanted to put the kibosh on that. And she essentially said, no, I want to name him Sebastian. So my other son is Sebastian. So anyway, that is my tie-in with Madrid. I've always been a big fan of them, and that's who I watch. And that's who I'm happy to support always, through thick and thin, and no matter if they're doing terrible or they're doing great. But the problem with Real Madrid is they can't do, because of their many, many years of greatness in the Spanish press, in the fandom of Real Madrid, there is absolutely no room for error, and there is absolutely no grace period. There is absolutely no, you know, sort of cutting anybody any slack. So already today with a draw, with a 1-1 draw with Mallorca, which we played in San Moy, which is not an easy stadium ever to play for us. We've actually dropped points against them the last four times we've gone to that stadium. So they're not an easy team to beat. And especially in their stadium today, they played with a low block. They have a really good coach who I've followed, you know, when he was last year with Osasuna. I think he's been in a couple of other Spanish teams before, but I don't have him at the top of my head right now. But Yagoba Arrasate is a good coach. And, you know, he was able to do great things with Osasuna. And then he brought in Johan Mojica, which I'm going to say, I like Mojica. And Mojica had a stellar game today. Mojica is Colombian. My family's from Colombia. I always support the Colombian national team. He was amazing for us during the Copa America this season. And he had a great game today against Real Madrid, stopping what should have been a clear goal in one opportunity. And, you know, he had a really good game against Real Madrid, and they as a whole had a really good game against Real Madrid today defensively. And it's very difficult, and it's always been difficult for Madrid and for many teams to get results against teams that are just resolute in wanting to defend and are going to take their chances on set pieces. And with a guy like Muriqi or Murici, however you pronounce his name, this huge physical presence in the box, and we've always had issues these past few seasons of, you know, anytime somebody crosses into the box, it's been an issue. Whether we have Rudiger, whether we have Militao, whether we have Nacho, whether we have David Alaba in the box, it's always hard for us, for some reason, to cover, you know, sometimes set pieces against us. And it just seems like today, every shot that came into the box, Muriqi was able to get on the end of, and it just seemed inevitable that he was going to score at some point. Besides that, I think, you know, honestly, you know, a lot of people are wanting to spell out doom and gloom already. I've already seen like Ancelotti out. I've already seen all the stupidity that you see from Real Madrid fan bases and everybody, and a lot of fans that believe that they can coach better than Carlo Ancelotti, that believe they know better than Carlo Ancelotti, or, you know, all these other people that are on the team. But one of the things that he has, you know, and not to say that people don't have football knowledge, obviously they have football knowledge. I'm not a professional pundit. I was never a professional player. I'm not one of these guys that's obsessed with stats, you know, although I look at them now and then to learn more, because a lot of people use that, you know, like they use the expected goals. They use, you know, all these different stats and possession and whatnot. Although we've seen that possession doesn't necessarily win you games anymore. You know, a big testament to that was how we beat Man City last season in the Champions League. Big point of that is how we see Barcelona, you know, playing a possession game but not really getting anywhere with possession. You know, with the Xavineta last year that they were trying to sell us on, you know, trying to conserve this style of football that doesn't necessarily mean anything anymore. Of you know, making the, basically showing that possession isn't always the metric to die to, you know, you can't die on the hill of possession being the number one thing that you need in a football match. It's really about, I think in a lot of ways, it's, you know, the ability to withstand pressure, the ability to the counter, the ability to be clinical in your finishing, the ability to just showcase, you know, luck plays a factor as well, but also just the fact that if you have talent somehow, somewhere, so a lot of times that talent is going to show up, and that's what happens with Real Madrid a lot of times. And sometimes it doesn't. And sometimes teams are going to be able to throw themselves back into a low block and really try to sit back and defend. And really, you had two lines of four with Mallorca. If anything, a line of five at some point where they were just sitting in the box defending. And I think one of the issues that I had today was, aside from this sort of Jogo Bonito, trying to play the Jogo Bonito, you know, little ticky-tack football in the box and trying to be pretty, doing back heels and dummying the ball and all sorts of things there that Vinicius, Rodrigo, and Mbappe were doing. And it did work for the first goal. It didn't work afterwards. And they were just consistently trying to make runs into the box, trying to do these, you know, 1-2 passes and trying to do these like nice little plays and triangulate passes, which is always something you want to see. And sometimes it comes off and sometimes it doesn't, but it wasn't working. And then I kind of got frustrated because we weren't seeing shots from outside of the box from guys like Valverde, we know can shoot, Bellingham, we know can shoot. We weren't seeing a lot of that where you really needed to try and get something like that going and try to find other ways of space. I think I saw on X a tweet right now that was going on that was saying that it seemed like, I think it was during halftime, where Bellingham was trying to tell the guys to find other ways to attack, and that if, you know, if there wasn't space and if it didn't seem like you had a shot, take it, go for it, you know. So there were things that we had to do more of. But I really think we got sloppy. There was a lot of sloppy passing. I think Carvajal had an off night tonight. He gave away the ball a couple times. Tchouaméni also seemed to not, you know, Tchouaméni is very good, and, you know, I'm not going to say anything bad about Tchouaméni, but I just, you know, honestly, forget Tchouaméni. I don't want to talk about that because I think one of the issues that consistently brought up recently, of course, is, of course, you know, the loss of somebody like Toni Kroos, because there are very few players in the world, if any, that can play the ball like Toni Kroos does, those incisive cutting passes from almost midfield all the way to the front of, almost all the way into the penalty area, or to coming into an on-running striker that's coming, making a diagonal run into the box, and you have a guy that makes this cutting pass all the way down the middle of the pitch. That while we called him the German sniper, essentially, was because he was able to do that, or these incredible passes switching play from the left side of the field to the right side of the field. And you weren't seeing that as much today, although Luka Modric brought some of that when he came into the game. But I think what's lacking there is a creativity. And honestly, one of the things I'm seeing is we're trying to play with a 4-3-3 system when we weren't playing with a 4-3-3 system last season. And then at some point I saw it was listed as when La Liga listed the formation as a 4-2-3-1. At some point, which I think was essentially they had, I believe, Valverde and Tchouaméni sitting back as a double pivot. I don't know why they put it like that, because I don't think that really played as much in the game. And then Bellingham, Rodrigo, and somebody else was there. But anyway, they had Vinicius and Mbappé up top. And, you know, Tchouaméni and Valverde. And so it wasn't making sense. I forgot who else was on the field to make it a 4-3-2-1. 4-2-3-1, sorry. Who the heck else was on the field? No, not Modric, sorry. Valverde, Bellingham. Rodrigo. Yeah, so sorry, Rodrigo. So it was Rodrigo, Rodrigo and Bellingham. And then you also had, like I said, Mbappe and Vinicius up top. Or I'm sorry, Vinicius on one side, Bellingham in the middle, and then Rodrigo. And then you had Mbappe up top. Sorry, I got all confused there. But anyway, that's where it seemed like on the system. But on everywhere else I saw it was a 4-3-3. And then you had this strange dynamic, obviously, because they were switching consistently, which was Mbappe, Rodrigo, and Vinicius switching consistently. And the problem there, which I've seen a lot of you guys commenting, was that they were really essentially, they're all left wingers, right? So although, Rodrigo obviously has played for many seasons now on the right wing, so to call him a right winger isn't really that fair, although he does look a lot better when he plays on the left wing. Then you have a Vinicius that likes to play on the left wing, and then you have an Mbappe that likes to play on the left wing. So putting a 4-3-3 system when you have all left wingers, and we played an entire season last season with, the diamond system, I really, with a 4-4-2 diamond, I really think we need to go back to that system. And really why I want to bring that up, and I don't know, some people are going to call me crazy, some people will agree with me. Listen, I like Rodrigo. I like Rodrigo, and Rodrigo is a great player. But the problem is, for the system that we want to play, and especially with the loss of Toni Kroos, you can't play without somebody creative. Because honestly, Valverde and Tchouaméni and even Jude Bellingham, as good as he is, I don't think he is that incredibly creative player. He's great. He can be creative. He can win the ball. He can be an incredible midfielder. But he's more of essentially like he was playing that cam position last year, sitting right behind the striker, the two strikers, and he was making those late runs into the box. Now throwing him out wide into being the third midfielder wasn't, you're bringing him out wide, so you're losing that ability for him to come into the box. You're kind of isolating him down because he's sitting deeper. Now, honestly, I feel like really the situation here is the creativity. And honestly, I would really like to see Arda Güler. I want to see more of Arda Güler. I think he is, if there is somebody who showed me during the Euros that he can make pinpoint accurate passes, that he can be creative, that he can put balls into the box, that he can take shots on goal from pretty much any angle on the pitch, that he could make a play from anywhere, that he can put in like I said, putting these crosses into the box, pinpoint passes, not only that, but on the corners, he was a dead ball, essentially a set piece dead ball specialist, putting the ball where we needed it to be. Really the only other player you have like that now is Luka Modric. And then right now we have on the pitch, when we're playing 4-3-3, you have Rodrigo taking, when Modric is on the pitch, you have Rodrigo taking all of our corner and our set pieces. And today, I don't know if any of you noticed, but none of Rodrigo's passes into the box, none of his corners really got anywhere that I felt were a danger at all for Mallorca. Mallorca really did a good job of covering all those, and we didn't have anything where I felt like, with the presences in the air that we have of Rudiger and Militao and Bellingham as well, can score headers. We've seen Carvajal do it as well. All of these opportunities we have to score headers. Carvajal's a stretch, I know, because he's the smallest guy on the pitch, and he just did it once last season, a couple times last season. But anyway, I mean, you have these opportunities to score from set pieces, and we did it last season as well. But you don't have somebody to put a ball in the box that way. And Arda Güler is that kid. He is that guy. Obviously, yes, he's young. He's 19. He's still got a lot to learn. He's going to have a lot of pressure on him. But I think, obviously putting a team, putting a turkey on your back, putting your national team on your back and doing so well during a Euro when there's a lot of pressure on you, when a lot of everybody knows you play for Madrid, and performing as well as he did last season with Real Madrid, I really think is something that we need to be using more of. Now, whether you want to play a 4-3-3 and have Arda Güler out wide, okay, that might be a solution. But honestly, for me, I would like to play the 4-4-2 diamond, and I would like to have Arda Güler sitting right behind the likes of Vinicius and Mbappé. You know, I do think Bellingham is probably going to lose. He's probably going to, you're going to have to bring him still. He's going to have to sit back as being your other midfielder, but with a midfielder like Valverde, and then have Tchouaméni as your CDM there. That is kind of what I want to see. I don't know if people, you know, agree with that, but that's kind of what I want to see, because I think Arda Güler is that missing piece. I really think he is that missing piece. I think he is, not to say he is the heir to the throne of Toni Kroos, but if there is a guy who can make passes, if there is a guy who can be, who we've seen has shown that he can be creative, that he can come up with things, that he can shoot on goal, but he can make passes. It's that kid. And I think we need to give him more opportunities. We'll see what Ancelotti is going to bring to the table, but I really feel like that is where we want to have that guy. If we're going to go with the 4-3-3 system, then yeah, I mean, I think you have to sacrifice Rodrigo because you need that creativity, and you need to put Arda Güler out on the right-hand side and have Mbappé in the middle and Vinicius, and maybe have them switching around, but keep Arda Güler on the right-hand side. Obviously, like, you have Tchouaméni, Valverde, and Bellingham. The thing is, I just don't think you're going to lose Bellingham. I mean, Ancelotti isn't going to ever switch Vinicius, Mbappé, or Bellingham. But my issue with Vinicius today was, Vinicius' performance today, aside from, you know, these you know, inventive, obviously he's creative too in the final third, but with his dribbles and things like that. But when I think Mafeo at this point has gotten into his head. I also feel like the Mallorca fan base has gotten into his head. He got heated from the beginning of this game. He loses his cool. And when he loses his cool, I mean, obviously in the Bernabeu, I think he's going to do great because he's got the whole world behind him. In Champions League games, obviously he's got the whole world behind him, especially in finals, because finals are played on neutral ground, so he can do whatever he wants and he doesn't listen to anybody. But some of these local teams, the fans are in your face, they make their presence known, the pitches are smaller, they're able to chant your name and say stupid shit, and no one's going to stop it. You know that that's going to happen right now in La Liga, as much as they wanted to say, you know, no to racism and all that kind of stuff. But Vinicius also, I mean, obviously I'm not saying, you know, we should just let it go, just let the racism go. No, but Vinicius has to stop. But even when other players try to get in his head, he gets no calls from the refs when he thinks he should get calls. And the fan base is, let's say, even if they say, let's say, Vinicius, you suck, right? Because that's a totally normal thing that they can say without being racist, you know? If they're trying to get in your head, man, you can't let them get in your head. And I think he sort of, and I think Mafeo had consistently was beating him, or was not beating him, but was giving him issues. Mbappé was actually doing a better job of dealing with Mafeo a couple times there on the side. So I really think, you know, and then there was this point in the game where you saw Vinicius, Rodrigo, and Mbappé all on the left-hand side, you know. So, you know, they're all kind of drifting wide, and I just don't think that was making any sense. And we're a team that likes to drift wide, because especially drift onto the left-hand side, because we use Vinicius' speed to basically try to put long balls behind the defenders and let Vinicius bring and come in with that pace, and then let him cut inside from the left-hand side and try to score from there, or make a pass back to one of the on-running strikers, whether that's going to be Mbappé or whether he's going to play 1-2 with Mbappé, because they both can match each other for speed. Mbappé made a fantastic run today. He got fouled in the box. Of course, that was a no call, because that's how this league runs. This crazy no call that there was yesterday, that, you know, Pau Cuersi should have gotten a second yellow for Barcelona, you know. And I'm bringing that up because that's just how the defense, that's just how the reffing is in La Liga. There was a blatant pull on, I think it was on Militao's shirt or somebody in the box during a corner kick, and he was dragged down to the floor. No call whatsoever, you know. So all of these things, I think it's going to be frustrating this season because they're going to do a lot of that, and we're going to have to see if they're going to give it a call or not. And then if they give us a call, we're the ones who, oh, así gana el Madrid. This is, you know, we always cheat, or we always have paid off the refs, when we know that the team that's paying off the refs has always been another team. But, you know, this is either here nor there, and I don't want to get into that, you know, that stuff. I'll get into it when we play Barcelona. But, you know, with all that said, you know, like I said, I really don't see us playing the 4-3-3 again because of the fact that that system wasn't one that we played with last year, you know, and we did what we could, what we were able to do. And especially with the integration of Bellingham into the side, we did what we had to do last season, you know, by not having a number nine, by using Bellingham making late runs into the box, by making sure that Vinicius and Rodrigo were the tip of the spear, to say, you know, to put it that way. I think that's what we have to stick with. And who's going to be sacrificed? Well, unfortunately, I think it will be Rodrigo that is sacrificed, but Rodrigo could always come on for Vinicius. He could always come on for Mbappe. I don't know if you want to play a 4-3-3 system with the different teams, and try it occasionally. I have no problem with that, but I think the one that's going to suffer the most, unfortunately, is Rodrigo. And that's really going to, I mean, and then you have Endrick too. So you already have so many attackers, and then, you know, and the problem was, yeah, the midfield just seems sloppy today because you had Bellingham trying to be an attacker as well when he was obviously he's also obviously supposed to be a midfielder. So you'd end up with four attackers and a midfield that just seemed soft, and you just didn't have a creative presence there in the midfield. And I think, you know, people were saying, you know, Camavinga, that's where you can really use Camavinga's, you know, ability to drive the ball forward, his ability to make passes, his ability to obviously track back and make plays, where he's not just the destroyer of plays as, you know, like Tchouaméni, but he also brings in a little bit more elegance into the game with his passing, and can do, really, he is at this point, you know, has been in a lot of ways a Swiss Army knife for Real Madrid. So he's been fantastic in that regard. So, you know, that's why, you know, he's a big miss. Camavinga is a big miss for us. So I just don't know. I mean, and like I said, going back, I've said a lot of stuff, and I want to finish up this podcast right now and finish up, you know, this episode right now. But anyway, I think really at the end of the day, this was, you know, we didn't lose the game. It was a draw against Mallorca, which has been a tough team for us to face in La Liga. Draws are going to come. We're going to drop points. It happens. Every season we drop points. People want to make a big deal out of having Mbappe and that we were going to win every single game, myself included. I thought, you know, oh my God, we're going to do some amazing things with Mbappe because it looks so vicious. And it still can be. The problem is these guys are still learning. They just got back. They just got back from preseason. Mbappe just played. This is only his second game really playing with the team together. And you're already seeing some things. He already scored a goal, obviously, against Atalanta. So really, we have to see how the team evolves. And as these guys get more gel better, as these guys build chemistry, as they continue to improve, I think what's going to happen is you're going to see an absolutely epic team that's going to come together, and we're going to be banging in goals, and we're going to do well. And really, there's an opportunity this season to win it, because honestly, I don't feel, as much as Barcelona thinks they're going to be able to do things with this young squad, I do not think they're going to be able to do things with this young squad. As you know, I think they have way too many problems. The one team that I do think, and I would worry about, is Atletico. Obviously Atletico has made some good purchases, especially with Julian Alvarez, who is a fantastic player. As much as people might want to say, oh, well, he was playing a bit part. He wasn't the, you know, star of the show when he was at Manchester City. You know, I'm sorry, but Julian Alvarez is a talent. You know, he wasn't playing at Man City as much as he should have been because of the fact that Haaland was there. Now he is going to be one of the main guys, especially at an Atletico Madrid. He's going to be there. He's going to be an important piece of the puzzle. He's a fast player. He's a clinical finisher. He does a great job, and I think he's going to be a very important piece. And they got Lenormand in defense. They got Conor Gallagher. Obviously, Conor Gallagher is not like blow me away talent, but they got Sorloth for the height, and you know we saw what Sorloth did last season. He did it to Real Madrid too, also. So I'm not saying he's like a world beater, but you know he can cause a problem with his height, and we already saw how big physical attackers like Muriqi, like Sorloth, cause us problems in the box. And so that is going to be an issue. Mark my words, guy, Atletico is going to be the issue this season. They're going to be the tough team to beat. So we have to be careful with them. I don't think it's going to be Barcelona. I definitely think it's going to be Atletico. But I think give this team time. Give them time to gel and get together. And we're going to be seeing, you know, a lot of amazing football from Real Madrid. But we really have to sort out this midfield issue, because Toni Kroos, whether we like it or not, and whether we want to keep on harping on it, he's a huge loss. He's a huge loss because of what he brought to this team. And Modric, my favorite player of all time, alongside Raul and Cristiano Ronaldo, Modric isn't going to be able to do any, isn't going to be do what he's known for doing at 39 years old. He's going to come in and set tempo, but he's always going to be in the second half. He's always going to come on in the second half because that's just what he can do now. He's an older guy. He's not going to have the same pace. He's not going to have, but he can still do amazing things for us. But you need somebody else that has that creativity, that ability to make passes, that ability to just sort of set the pace of the game. And, you know, people are talking about, you know, Arda Güler, of course, is a huge one there. We'll have to see what Ceballos can do. I've seen Ceballos pull off some great things in the past, but is he the guy? I don't think he's the guy. I think he's a good relevo. He's a good backup player. He's a good sub to come in, but he is not the guy. So I would bet my money on. But again, going back to the whole thing about people shitting, and it's already so annoying for people to talk trash about somebody like Carlo Ancelotti. Ancelotti is going to figure out a system. He's done it before. He will do it again. He's going to figure out how to get the best out of these guys. And we are going to end up winning, ladies and gentlemen. We are going to end up winning this season. I know that we are going to win La Liga this season. Bar some sort of disaster, which hopefully, knock on wood, and my table here is made out of wood, knock on wood, doesn't happen. You know, we don't get some crazy amount of injuries. Knock on wood, and I'm saying that now, but bar some huge issue happening, I really feel like we're gonna come out on top and we're gonna be fine. So this is the first game of the season. It's only second game for Mbappe. The team is still, you know, getting back from vacation. They're still learning from each other. They're trying to gel. They played a system they weren't used to playing before. They played against a team that has already taken points from us in the last few times we visited that stadium. You know, this is just one game and the sky is the limit. Next time we play against Valladolid, and I really think that we need to put up big numbers against a team like Valladolid. They just came up from Segunda División, where they struggled to make it back into La Liga. We should be, you know, running up numbers there. That'll be a good game for us to, you know, gel and get better at our system before, you know, we start playing against the tougher teams in La Liga. Not discounting Valladolid, of course, because they can always cause problems if they're just going to sit back and defend. But it'll be a good game for us to see, you know, the Mbappe show that we want to see, the Vinicius show. For me, the Arda Güler show, I want to see, it sucks because I like Rodrigo, but if there's some person that you're going to sacrifice, that's going to be one of the guys, and you're not even going to sacrifice him. He's going to be part of the team. He's just going to have to come on as a sub, or you're going to have to, you know, put him, you know, start him at sometimes, instead of Vinicius, if Vinicius needs a rest, you know, there's so many options there. But I think, you know, obviously he's going to be the one that probably suffers a little bit this season. But it is what it is, you know. And it sucks, but that's the reality of the situation. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that is the show. And really, you know, that's what I wanted to talk about today, and I'm happy to be back. Make sure to hit the subscribe button to subscribe to this podcast, whether you're listening to it on audio via Apple Podcasts or whatnot, or you are listening to it or watching it, I should say, on YouTube. On YouTube, just hit that subscribe button so you get an update every time I put up a new podcast. This season, what I'm going to do is sometimes if I can't record a video, I will record a podcast audio, and I will put the audio obviously on Apple Podcasts, and I'll let you guys know as well. So follow us on Instagram at YNM Podcast. Follow us on X at Inadamas Podcast. Follow us on Facebook at Inadamas Podcast. And then also check out our website, which is inadamas.net. Right now, we haven't updated any of the articles. Those are still from last season. But once Trombach and Hells and myself, I want to write some as myself on there as well. If you want to write for the podcast, and I've needed help, honestly, I need help right now, info at inadamaspodcast.com. I'm sorry, info at inadamas. My God. Info at inadamas.net. That is the email address. And check out our website at inadamas.net for all the articles. So check out us. Check us out there, guys. You know, really, really happy to be back. But now the show is just going to continue as if I hadn't been gone. And that's what's going to happen from now on. I thank you guys for listening so much. Appreciate it. And I'll talk to you guys again soon.
This has been Y Nada Más, al Real Madrid Podcast.